Tonight I'm turning to the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12. As we continue our studies in the book of First Corinthians. Last week we ended chapter 11, and that we are moving on to chapter 12. And tonight we'll consider verse 1 onwards, and our subject is spiritual gifts. I'll read you verse 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. And so the theme and the matter Paul deals with in this passage is about spiritual gifts, and that we'll speak about them. And so this will be part 1. It runs up to somewhere verse 11, but I don't think we can complete all this evening. In the name of Koso, First Book of Corinthians, you know. Chapter 12. Na potaya ejina so verses here can know yeah. Abdom Achadia and Asa Susu Mwachadia. Sometimes the tree in the English, I don't know how it's normally called Abdom Achadia, so we'll take it like that, because about spiritual gifts. It has to do with a kind of thing like a very sunsumu no achedie, but we popularly call it adomo achedie. Pre Bible no cross, I'm a friend adomo achedie, so yeah, I don't know yet share in any way. Now, for sports, and you know my father adomo achedie, who know the name person move here, we have for money is your home, and here for sports. As I've already hinted, he's going to treat on spiritual gifts. And looking at how he speaks always in this book, they might have asked him about it. It's like, so he has dealt with other matters. Now he comes to spiritual gifts. We might have written to him concerning it, and that he write to instruct them about it. And if you go through to chapter 14, you see that there was an abuse of spiritual gifts in the church, and so he writes to correct them and instruct them how they ought to the manner and the use of them, and also the profit, how it could be profitable to the church as they use it rightly. They make an apostle Paul. I was in the 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 and since my Abba, I'm according to our for now. Now, from verse 12, chapter 12, chapter 14, you know, almost an hour, according to our story, no. I said, I don't want to tell you, no, I'm going to tell you, master, yet here. Now, I said, it's here, and maybe more so, and be more over, and yet, I hope I'm not on the day, and now, or Troy is over church, this is my name. Well, what are spiritual gifts? Spiritual gifts are spiritual abilities that God bestowed on the church for the work of propagating the gospel and the edification of believers. Basically, that's the purpose of God giving the spiritual gift through the Holy Spirit to His church, to propagate the gospel, to aid them in that work. And if you, I'll just read to you Acts chapter 1, verse 8. It was a promise that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to the apostles when He was going, that He would send them the Spirit who enabled them for the work. Acts 1, verse 8, He says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the utmost parts of the earth." And so one of the purpose of the spiritual gift that the Spirit will give first is for the propagation of the gospel. Why am I saying this? Nowadays, people claim to have spiritual gifts, and they are so ignorant of what the gospel is. So the first thing that God will give anyone true spiritual gift is the propagation of the gospel, as He gave to the apostles. Yes, there are other aspects which I just mentioned. Edification of the believers also. That's another aspect. Beyond that, it's nothing. And in all this work, the Spirit will glorify Christ. So that the gifts that are given for this work will work in the church to bring the glory of Christ to be manifested. So, that is the purpose. God, often people speak of spiritual gifts. Because, in some way, we said, And somewhere I found who saw here, I don't know, Yakupo Barbary as an anno, Sebacoma, Nipa, Ajedino. To me, a better channel, Susan Concrona, at the moment, and I'm sad to my ideas in the meeting. Who can out chapter 1:8? Or yet, a boy of the share is young for 90 she said. Or call the man who broke on up, and I'll know the moment to me, no matter, Yamisel. And if you also, I do my idea, no, yet, asorin ma asorin to me ama ejeri fo ahoden anase ntitie ene Kristo abra wono betu nya ahoden wo ebe bo ma asorin djuma no akoso ntise wi za nyom ma tu ifi ho a na so bi ka so nya adomu achede na so de ye nyom ma bi a emfa sa kan yesu a nya adomu achede so se ko bebre ka so nya adomu achede so no kura nya nkupo Yesu Kristo ho asem ne butai oba ri ase. And the Nelson Christ, only Mushi, it's also in Yaku Machadi. Bible could go on dream kind for also in Yaku Machadi, or New Mushi. Oh, God gave the spiritual gift for His church and for the work of the ministry. And in this spiritual gift, some were extraordinary. When we say they are extraordinary, they are, like they come along with miraculous works and supernatural. Manifestations. That's what I mean by extraordinary. And these were given to the church in the beginning, when the church started in the early century with apostles. There were these gifts which were extraordinary, but these extraordinary gifts were not to continue with the church throughout all the ages. As we go, we'll see, and I may not finish all today, but we'll see why I'm saying this. They were not supposed to continue with the church throughout all ages. I've given the purpose of the spiritual gifts, propagation of the gospel, and edification of believers. And that the spiritual gift itself will not, it's not the means people will be saved, but it's like the power to enable the work to go on. So if you look at spiritual gifts as they are, it's helpful for unbelievers. Mostly, the one that will go the preaching of the gospel, so that unbelievers will come to know the Lord. The other aspect, which has to do with edification, is also there, but it is always given for this work of the church. And so, there were others that have said we're not supposed to continue throughout all the ages. And this is especially these are the miraculous gifts given for the confirmation of the apostles who were chosen directly by the Lord to lay down the foundation doctrines and practices for the church. These extraordinary ones were given for the confirmation of the apostles and their work. Some people think that, well, the apostolic office was not specific as the Lord Joshua gave to those 12 and later became 11 and Paul also joined, but the Bible is so clear They were called the eyewitnesses of Christ. And that was the mark of the apostles. I think I've treated this here before. Apostles were eyewitnesses. Apostle Paul, though he wasn't the eyewitness, he had a special revelation of Christ. But all the 11 were eyewitnesses. Peter would say, men specifically chosen of God to bear witness. That's why in Acts chapter 1, when Judas was not with them, he said they should vote to replace someone who also was an eyewitness with us. You see, but then after them, there was no appointed apostles again. Only the Lord appointed them. And so there were special gifts given to them to confirm. And their work, the work of the apostles, they were to receive revelations. And these revelations will be teachings and practices for the church. And there's no group of Christians that were given this specific task. Apostles, no matter I didn't church far and you must say it did this at Christopher. Yes, I'm so a boy and yes, sorry, you remember you must say yes, soon you may buy or say that you know. Apostles, you know, yach wrong, no more to me at the sun you made. Apostle Paul refers to this miraculous gift here in Acts chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. Look at how he says it. Truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Signs of an apostle, referring to the miraculous gifts that were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, in wonders, and mighty deeds. So, these miraculous gifts were signs of the apostles to confirm their work, to let the church know who were the true apostles and who were those that they were supposed to listen when it comes to matters of faith and practice. Because Christ will give them direct revelation for his church. And what he gave them is what we have in the New Testament, the epistles, the gospels and the epistles. Nobody has added to this book. Nobody will have challenged, no true Christian will challenge that he can add to this book. But people claim to have revelations anyway. But they were given this gift for this. And to the Christians in Rome, Apostle Paul also says in Romans chapter 15, verse 18 to 19, look at how he says that this spiritual gift, miraculous gift, assisted him in the preaching of the gospel. He says, "For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me, to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ." So he said that Christ enabled him with mighty wonders and miracles, so that from Jerusalem to Illyricum, he has preached the gospel. So you see the connection with miraculous gifts and that of the preaching, and also propagation of the gospel, especially the new work which the apostles were establishing. The church of Jesus Christ was nowhere. The Old Testament church was in Israel, in Jerusalem. The New Testament church, it was the apostles who established them by the preaching of the gospel. You know the epistle, the Corinth, Philippi, Thessalonica, many, many places. By their work, these churches were established. Well, there were others who worked along with them, like Timothy, Silas, Barnabas. They all were working with the apostles. So in their time, they were establishing the churches. You see, so they had a specific that when you talk about it, people think, well, no, people can also have this kind of gift. No, they had a specific that who received revelations to be added to the scriptures for all the churches. No, nobody is doing that today. Nobody is doing that. All that they received is written down for us. Their work is finished. It's written down for us. But then, some spiritual gifts are also ordinary. When we say ordinary, it doesn't mean that it is common or something, but it means that they are supposed to continue with the church throughout all ages, and it's not it's not attended with signs and miracles as the apostles had. Gifts such as teaching and preaching, and also administration of the church. And this is always needed for the ongoing work of the church. the preaching and the teaching and administration of the church. The main kind of Apostle Paul, okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. No, okay, sir. Omunhwe sir, and I did actually say, Apostle, in century, I am Apostle for a small one century, you know. Omunhwe sir, a bit bow, what you said. Niju media would deal with Omuno. A bed, he said, or your one dear, or your new ma, as soon as we say. A dear man, a year, and that's it, or your small four, would be your own. Now call Romans chapter 15, verse 18 to 19. So catch the Christopher Romans to say. Now, yes, Christo, man, to me, more car and Sampano, or the on what dear, any to me, dear, be brave, essentially, dilated. The anointing from Jerusalem, I call it a or to me, a preacher, or to me, I can use Christ to listen and find him now. Now, make us a dear, maybe think I can say, soon, I don't matter, dear, no. The Jumma dear by Connors of Belguama, yeah, in St. Pacano Apostle, sir, and I'm so much so, if I be dear, now sorry, it to me, Apostle. And now, I shall say, now, sorry, dear, I can't, it's Christ, I'm sorry, yeah. I a small phone or small moment, I'm sure I'll take what it is, sorry, no. Maybe, baby, yeah. A catechism, Old Testament, as well as Jerusalem, but a pamphu for New Testament as well as the apostles are a small one. I used to power on that for the car. On the 13, a pamphu for you, so a year's Christian, sorry. And to almost you may be all the shamans that into almost out to me, dear Noah. I go much at the moment, you start to me, no, nobody to me, a desire to me, dear. And then Apostle Paul, all come out. No, because I go much at the end of the door. And yet, strong point to say, Apostle, a small point in the end. And no, dear, young group on the ma, and then near son of Bethlehem, oh, and bring me a bring me a son of a woe, we are seminal. If it is a seminal church, right here, and then Miss Ma, a bed, ma, a sorry, a juma, a costuma, a sorry, no, it's me, Yakasuma, a for you, and the young group on the sa, and one point, I tell you, the man, I'm sorry, I bring me a bring me a. But, dear, a year, and what dear Miss Samuel Mano Apostles, and she have no one or one Breno, and yet they'll say, Nay, to us, oh, I saw no affair. And there's an evidence of this that those miracles gave were not supposed to continue. In church history, after the apostles, nobody did miracles, nobody did healings and this thing. Just read church history, is there? There were few people who wanted to say, well, they said the church has lost those gifts because the church has become disobedient. In the early century, I think there was a person called Max Milan and Fresca. Yeah, they were prophets and all that. But look at the church at Corinth. They were misusing the gifts. And even they should have lost those miraculous gifts. But they were in the era of the apostles. The gift was still working among them. We should say that it is by the disobedience of the church that the church lost those miraculous gifts. Then the Corinthian church shouldn't have that miraculous gift. If you look at the letter of Paul wrote, look at how they were abusing the Lord's Supper, how there were divisions among them, and if you go to chapter 4, how they were abusing the tongues, prophecies, and chapter. I mean, there was so much. But even there was a fornication issue, and they have not been disciplined the person. And yet the Spirit was working. The miraculous gifts were being manifested. So it isn't that the church became disobedient. That's why there wasn't any manifestation of those miraculous gifts. It is because God himself withdrew those gifts. From the early century, the first century, after the apostles were gone, nobody performed their miracles. Just raised about not over 50 years, Pentecostal churches came in and they know they are reviving the miracle. So, gifts and those things. So, for over 1,900 years or what, God has left his church without those gifts. No, it's not true. Churches, we have the Bibles today because there were Christians who been died for the Bible, who translated the Bible, who kept the Bible, who God used them to bring the Bible to all languages. And these Christians never claimed this miraculous gift. They should have had that. William Tyndale, the Wycliffe, and go back, I mean, many of them, Calvin and others, the John Wesley and others, nobody, none of them ever claimed to have miraculous gifts. They preserved it by their word that we have the Bible we have today. And people can build their churches on and yet claim to have those gifts, which these men didn't have, if it was something God was giving to the church. So, what we see today about spiritual gifts, people claim that as if that is something that the church must have, it's never true. It has never been like that throughout the centuries, over 1,900 years. Okay, so I've spent my time on this because there's so much confusion. People are always confused. Oh, the spiritual gift should continue. No. You see, when the Bible mentions something, we are supposed to learn all scriptures that speaks about it. The purpose says, the Bible may not say, I have stopped, or should continue, but the teachings of scripture will definitely show that these things are normal. Okay. So, that's what Paul is trying to say about spiritual gifts. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. And so here, the meaning is that the spiritual abilities which the Lord gives to the church, He has blessed the church with, He will direct them about its purpose, and then try to show them their use and their manners, and how and why the Lord gives. I've already spoken about that. And as I've already also hinted, that there was an abuse of the use of spiritual gifts in the Corinthian church. So Apostle Paul writes to correct, and I'm sure some of them were concerned. Some who were true godly were concerned that why the spiritual gift is from God, and why that abuse? Because it is from God, why is not rather bringing us together, making us more useful? So Apostle Paul will try to explain. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Here, Apostle Paul reminded these Corinthian Christians their former connection to idolatry. Apostle Paul, when he's teaching, he doesn't really try to go, oh, do this. No, he tried to open our minds to really see the whole scope of the subject. Right? So he tells them, he reminds them of their former connection to idolatry. You were Gentiles who were idolatry, who were worshiping God, who were worshiping idols. As Apostle Paul verse 2, I'll say, Namu de Namu Yamanamanimu Fua, Na Yakimu Akudi Akunia, Omuntimin Kasa, Ah, Yakimu Koye, Osa, Abianus. No, we all can fight and say, Corinthian Christopher, Namu Yamanamani, Amani, Amayamu Fuono, No Omu, the answer on Bay Christopher, Namu Yabosum for, Namu Yomu Amunim Yankupon, Napine. You know, all Gentiles, were ignorant of the covenant and the worship of God, were ignorant of the written word of God, except those who have been proselyted under the Old Testament. They never knew God, and all the worship of the Gentile nations were idolatry. Such is the case of all unbelievers. When everybody is an unbeliever, his worship, and if he goes to church, whatever, his worship is idolatry, because he doesn't have the right knowledge of God, and so he cannot offer right worship. His idea of God is imaginative. And he's carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. So their ignorance led them to the worship of speechless idols. That's what it means. That they were carried away to these dumb idols, even as you were led, as if they were being bound to follow idol. And that is what all the Gentile nations were before the gospel got to all the nations. Corinth, yes, Apostle Paul was the first person to preach the gospel there. Before then, it was idol worship. You see, and then they said that these idols are speechless, and that and it shows the folly of idolatry. You pray to these idols you have set up, but they are speechless. They cannot respond to you. They cannot answer your prayers, but you pray to them. But I'm sure we know how, even in Africa, this fetish, they claim to receive oracles from these dumb idols. And they will tell the people what the idols want them to know. But these are delusions. These are lies. The Apostle Paul comes to You know, Satan influenced this so-called priest to deceive people, as if these images are giving them oracles, and then people say, oh, then they believe these things, and then he deceived them to worship demons. You see, those idols set up, they are nothing, but then those who worship them, they are worshiping demons, because Satan somehow has influence on those who lead this idol worship. You see, they worship demons, you see. That's why Christians don't have anything, should not have anything with idol worship. Because the worship of demons is a worship of Satan, the adversary of the Lord. But we are told about Paul, what he's saying, these Corinthian believers were delivered from idolatry. Why? Because they came to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When Apostle Paul preached the gospel to them, they came to believe in him. And then they were delivered from idolatry. And so we see how people can be delivered from idolatry. It's only the gospel. When they come to know the Lord, then they can turn away from worshiping idols. And let's remember that the idolatry of these Corinthian Christians before they became Christians is not different from what we call African traditional worship, our ancestral worship in Africa. All over, always all this kind of worship has to be ancestral worship, worship of the dead, worship of creatures and images of things. The same way, that's how the Corinth were worshiping the idols, making gods out of the dead, and also trying to have connection with their ancestors. It's idolatry, and that is what African traditional worship is about. I'm sure each one of us we have extended family in connection with African traditional beliefs and practices. It's idolatry. Whatever they do, you know, in Africa, in Ghana, in many places, when somebody dies, they are going to pour libation. The libation they pour into devils. They pour into the dead and the spirit of the dead, which is idolatry. And Christians ought not to be involved in those things. Well, sometimes they say, well, something happened, they are going to fall libation. Whatever they do in those things, which show they are communicating with the so-called ancestors, it's idolatry. And it's what Apostle Paul is saying, that these Gentiles, the Corinthians, were saved from. So we are saved, then we are free from idolatry. We don't need to give ourselves to them. Whatever it is practiced. So, the idolatry of the Corinthians is the same like African traditional worship. The Apostle Paul, all kind of person of Corinthians, Christopher, Jim Jackson said, no more Yabosom, some for, and some way Christopher. Now, the church who said, Abosom, some other Corinth, one of the study, Ghana, and as Africa, see, in an anonymous sum. Ah, no, no, in an anonymous sum. Ayabosom, some, if you say, a sum, almost sum. Asamai, almost say Asamai, Nipe Wu, a sum of the sum, a body, and a infonia on the issue of Inya, Abosom, and a son of Corinth for no Muslim, Abosom, a tear. And why is Apostle Paul saying this? He's telling them that they have to learn about how God is worshipped. Apostle Paul didn't know catch them saying, no, we have some soon for not first, no, we have some soon for. Let's see, I don't want to hear every said, or person catch them saying, also, Musian and Coupon, no, why and Coupon Casano, no, why your monk, also Musiano, this is my son. So that what he said, you know that you were Gentiles, carried away unto these damn idols, even as you were led. He just drew their mind that then, now they are saved God has saved them to themselves, to himself. They have to learn his way. They shouldn't just imagine and then do things in the church. They have to learn it. And that is it. Each one of us, we are ignorant of the ways of God unless we learn from the Bible. None of us know the way of God except we learn it. Before we are converted, we may go to church and get involved with church, but we never knew the Lord and his ways. We never, our hearts were not open to understand this. So we have to learn. We don't live the Christian life by imagining how it ought to be lived. We ought to learn it and we ought to learn how to live as Christians. And again, here Apostle Paul is reminding us of the use of spiritual gifts. Verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus a curse, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. I said to me, Pastor Muti, I said, Obibi, you know what? Why is he saying this? What he's saying is trying to give a general rule by which we will distinguish those who are influenced by the Spirit from those who are not influenced by him, and yet they pretend to be influenced by him. Apostle, what then I can say? The all can or pastor said, but so saying, as you should be here, the best you should be of you said, when you are no matter there, and then yeah, also when you are but only any prayer, a quite a buffer so you know, near the credit when you are no matter there. That's all, yeah, on my interest. Well, when you read the history of the early Christians, I remember I read a book on the history, and that it is revealed that some of the Jews who hated the Lord Jesus Christ, they pretend to be preachers, and then do things in dishonor of his name. And you know how Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross, which is like the cross that cursed him. They say, well, the Jesus Christ that cursed him. Jesus Christ is dishonored, he's not God, and even in the Jewish writings, which those in Judaism still hold, they have writings about him. They refer to him and have so many bad descriptions about him. And I'm sure these were some of the practices. So Apostle Paul, and maybe in the early church, some will say, well, they also have their spirit, they have their spiritual gifts. Maybe they are preachers, and then they'll be saying things instead of them. If they are true preachers, then they must promote Christ and his glory. But rather, they will say other things which rather blaspheme the name of Christ. Remember, there were Judaizers who were traveling alongside and telling people that what Apostle Paul was preaching was false. Some even claim to be Christians. And then, they will tell people that, oh, if you believe in Jesus Christ and you don't obey the Old Testament rituals, the ceremonies, you are not a Christian. Remember, at the point, Apostle has to come to Jerusalem to discuss that matter. So there were so many things going on. People claiming to have the Spirit, but they were false. And he tells them, use this rule to mark them. Apostle Paul, they all cannot make us go. But as Omar is a bit to me, they are clear. Mia or say, Abia, or did you maybe I will use to him or Adomach idea? A person who said, the prayer answer never crossed. I make us okay. Jew for any be Sam Reno, maybe more. Almost you Christian day, but almost some who is Christian in Martin. Almost you almost only yet as some half for now. Almost so, I don't mean I do my child. You almost can't use Christian once, and rather, no, almost can't some will be No man speaking by the Spirit of God calling Jesus a curse. So no one who is under the influence of the Holy Spirit will speak blasphemously about Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Spirit glorifies Christ, whom he came to represent. The Holy Spirit came to represent Lord Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ himself said the Spirit will come and glorify him. He said he will glorify me. So if the Spirit, you say you were a preacher, you are a Christian, whatever, and then you have been given, and in the early church, you know, the preachers, the prophets and the teachers, they had inspired preachers, but they didn't have the complete written word of God. So definitely, they had only the Old Testament, so they were, these apostles, the apostles were gifted to give their preachings, mostly were of the revelatory. So people claim to have these gifts, to preach by revelation. They didn't have the New Testament we have. So, well, they also have received message from the Spirit, but then they lie. They say things which are blasphemous about Christ. So, this Apostle Paul will have it in mind. And if it is true that what they receive from the Spirit is true, then to glorify Christ. They will never utter any word that dishonor him, that blaspheme his name. That's what he's telling them. So you need to mark them. So that whosoever is under the influence of the Spirit will never say anything that blasphemes the name of Christ. To glorify God, the Spirit will glorify Christ. And again, he said, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Well, here Jesus is Lord. Before Jesus is Lord. This expression shows the deity of Jesus Christ. Do you know why? The word Lord here in the Greek is curious. And it is throughout the New Testament, the word that is translated Lord with capital L, O, R, small O, O, R, D. And this word in the Greek means supreme in authority. And it's a name that is always applied to God. And so here, it says that no man can say that Jesus is Lord. So here, speaking of Jesus, no one can say that Jesus is Lord, meaning Jesus is God. And no one can really say that Jesus is God, except his glory as God, except the Holy Spirit, is influenced by the Holy Spirit. What he's saying is that, in the early ages of the church, you know, just writing, when he was on earth, they called him the Nazarene. They despised him. Oh, we know his parents, his father and mother. So, there was the idea of these false preachers and others who would discredit in that world. He was just a mere man who was crucified on the cross in Calvary. He died a shameful death. But no, the revelation that came from the Spirit about Christ glorified him as the Son of God who came on earth to take human nature to die for human sin. But he is God. You see, so that it is only those who have come to know him that they can say this about him. Others who just think, well, he came to live in Nazareth. They saw him. He was just an ordinary person. He was a human being. He's not God. But those that the Spirit revealed. You know, when Lord Jesus asked the disciples, whom do you think that I am? And Peter said, thou the Son of God. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but the Spirit. So it is in this connection that for anyone to believe and to know that Jesus is God, and especially now in the time of the apostles, nowadays it's easier for to claim to really have the idea that Jesus is God, and yet they don't even believe in him. In those times, the Jews who hated Christ said, no, he's not God. That's why they were telling Peter and others, don't preach in his name. Don't do anything in his name. No, he's not God. You see, remember, before he was crucified, the chief priest had to tear his dress because Jesus Christ said, he is God. So that is the idea here. And Apostle Paul is saying that it is only by the Spirit influence that
Christ will be known. Jesus is known that though he came as a human being, he came to live on earth, but he was God. He was not an ordinary human being. He was God incarnate in the flesh. That's the idea of Apostle Paul is trying to bring into our mind, so that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. It's not merely just saying he's Lord. The word Lord, as I've explained, meaning that he is God. It's the word Lord, the New Testament, the word God and Lord, the capital L O and small O R D refers to God alone. So nobody can set for the deity of Christ, though he is seen as human, than the Spirit himself. So that's the glory of the gospel. What made the gospel glorious is the deity of Christ. You see, that when he set forth as the Son of God, equal to the Father, but came down, left his glory above, came down to take human nature to accomplish the work of redemption, so that whatever he has come to do for us, as God, he has power to save. To make sure that the death on the cross of Calvary, and all that he intends to save, save a sinner, all that his power, his wisdom, he has promised to show his able. That when we believe in him, we will not be disappointed, because he is God. If you are a mere human, then we will be disappointed. Jesus Christ is God. That is why the gospel is glorious, because salvation is not by human being, it's by God. And Christ who saves us, God. So this is in connection with what Apostle Paul is saying here. So that for us to know him as the Savior of the world, God incarnate, the Spirit must reveal to us. We must come to understanding by the work of the Spirit. But then, what Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthians, as I've already said, how false prophets or false preachers are to be discovered. As you know, false preachers will not glorify Christ, though they will speak about him. They will mention his name. The Apostle Paul, all kinds of Corinthians used to form, and he said, am I younger than so? If we say, one more a year, some can form, and then a crowd for no. Among can, among yes, Christo, among then a new Yamwedi. I'm a bonny ding, and the idea of my bottom, and then a new Yamwedi. Rather, no. I'm going to deal. No more there. I'm going to rather. I'm going to pay you more than some. I'm sure we know many preachers in our days that are such. Well, they will mention the name of Jesus and whatever, but they are claiming glory to themselves. So this is what Apostle Paul is saying here. If it is true that they are true preachers in the name of Christ they are mentioning, they will glorify him. They will say in the name of Jesus, whatever, but they are claiming the glory to themselves. They pretend to be ministers of Christ, yet they are ignorant of him and his gospel. They will claim to speak about Christ, but they are ignorant of what glory he holds. They claim to perform miracles and healings and also prophesy in his name, yet they are ignorant of the true gospel of the Christ crucified. You see, the so-called false prophet in our days, they claim to have so much power from the Spirit. What gospel did they preach? What is their message? What is the understanding of the truth about the church? Jesus Christ, God himself. Listen to them and compare to the Bible. Well, they will tell you God has given them revelation. You compare to the Bible. In there, when you go for a first one, say, "Omoye Christo, ne abia, omo na sofu anase." And yet, omuni siyamubia fanu huo anase nisem fanu. Omo bimukasa, omo tumia wadiye sanyari, omunya fanu say, "Eiche kura fini ho." Unsuki Yesu Christo wankasa no muni mno, nisem fanu kwa muni. Na the assurance that we can say, I don't much have been on your body, ma, Emma, and some parent here. And then that story is a bit to me, and me, oh, soon, soon, money on me. It will be because of us, I don't much have been. Now, sir, in church, and I never have a way, bruh. And you know, and I'm sure we know many, many people claim they have big names. but they are ignorant of Scripture. They don't even regard Scripture at all. The Scripture is the secondary thing to them. Well, they claim to have a high revelations or whatever, and their understanding of the church, the Christian life, is totally different. The understanding of the blessings of Calvary is about material prosperity. The understanding of what Christ, the riches of Christ, is material prosperity and worldly powers. No! These preachers are ignorant of the merit and the glories of Christ. The riches of Christ, forgiveness of sin, reconciliation with God, regeneration, new life, forgiveness of sin, and having that spiritual life in us, a life of holiness, a life that seek daily to seek and to please the Lord. You see, when we have been benefited from Christ, these are the things that we see. We will see that we have been saved from sin, brought into fellowship with God, having a spirit in us, and counting all things in this world as done. But they tell people, hold on the things of this world and chase them. You are blessed, and you are the head of the things. Seek the things of the world. Are they speaking on the Spirit of Christ? No. They are not. Why? The Spirit will glorify Christ and set His glory. Forgiveness of sin. So that when a sinner comes to believe in Him, he is able to save, to change the heart, to make us children of God, and to give us inheritance in heaven. Christ Himself said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these will be added unto you. You know, they say, no, seek all these things in the world, the kingdom of God and righteousness, yes, an addition. You see? They are false. So what Apostle Paul is saying here, we use the same rule. They speak in blasphemy, they speak against Christ, and yet they claim to be His ministers who have gifted them. They claim to have so much gift. They claim to have, look at the gift of healing and gift of faith, and they can do miracles. But what is their understanding about Christian life? What is their understanding about salvation and its blessings? What is their understanding of the Christian's inheritance? They tell people that, oh, Christ came to die so that we can gain the world and have the better things in this life. So that even if you are poor, then Satan, something is wrong with you. This speaking from the Satan, because that teaching is not in the Scripture. The Holy Spirit does not teach men so. They teach men, if He has called them, to set Christ and His glory, to direct us to what Christ has done for us as needy sinners, and to seek Him so that we'll be blessed by that. And that we'll be willing to ask Christ to deny ourselves. No, they say, no, don't bother yourself. Yes, you are a sinner, but that's not a problem. God, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, God saves you. Live in your sin, God is blessing you, Christ has died for you. No! And see, and they go on, and all that they teach is about this world. And they have rules for financial prosperity, rules for healing. Is that what Christ said we should teach? No. Are they influenced by the Spirit? No. They claim to have the Spirit, but they do not glorify Christ. So these are people we have to look at, because they claim to have the Spirit. Sometimes you walk on this, in the marketplace, listen to what people preach. They say, but listen to what they are preaching. I remember one preacher, he says, if you are not baptized, you don't go to heaven. I say, it's a cool preacher. And every day he's telling people, if you are not baptized, you don't go to heaven. Where is it written like? And it's all manner of things. They are speaking up from the Spirit. They are not called at all. All those that have been called, they glorify Christ. They set forth the way of salvation clearly. They themselves have tasted it. And they lead forth others in it. Apostle Paul could claim, I could preach the gospel from Jerusalem to Jericho. What did he preach? The gospel. The crucified Savior, whose power is able to save needy sinners from idolatry to God, from false worship to God. So that's what Apostle Paul is trying to say. And you know the actions of these so-called preachers, the actions, instead of them glorifying Christ, they blaspheme his name. And what do they do? One thing you find about them, they make merchandise of the name of Christ. Yes, Jesus, we love Jesus, whatever. But they are making money out of the name of Jesus Christ. You see, I'm sure we know. Go to those churches. They are making money out of the name of Jesus. What a great blasphemy. When Jesus Christ went into the temple, he sacked those who were selling the temple to clean it. But no, they claim to use the name of Christ. They make merchandise of him and then promote themselves. Now, signs and miracles are conference titles. Come, they are going to be signs and miracles. Where? Signs and miracles are not to be advertised. How can you advertise what God does? They are miracles because God does it at his own time. He doesn't, nobody is able to control it. Apostle Paul cannot even claim to say, I'm coming to do miracles. Come, no. As they are working and there's a need, God give it to them. At one time, Apostle Paul led one of his ministers, Trophimus, at Miletus or so, sick. Why didn't he heal him? He could have left him there sick. No, the early church, even the apostles were not doing miracles here and there. No, look at the act of the apostles and see the many times miracles were done. See? My people claim every time they have a miracle conference. How can you have a miracle conference? If their gift is from God, from the Holy Spirit, they cannot think of having a miracle conference. You see? And anyway, miracles are not given for believers. Look at from the Old Testament. Moses performed miracles before Pharaoh because Pharaoh was an unbeliever. Elijah had to perform miracles in the time of Ahab because Ahab was an unbeliever. Come to Judah. Which of the prophets perform miracles? Jeremiah, Isaiah, and all those Jeremiah. Come to Judah and those are prophets. But in the era of Ahab and others, ungodliness, look at the prophets of Baal, God has to come with a special sign to really enforce his truth. The time of David, what's the miracle? Gideon, God has to perform that miracle for Gideon because the people of Israel, their faith were so low. Gideon couldn't even believe that God could deliver them. So God has to perform the miracle to prove that he is still there. Moses, God performed miracle before Moses, the burning bush, because Moses, you know, when God has been performing a miracle, Moses was still not having a strong faith in him. So later, they were delivered, they were going. He would go and tell God, since you sent me, go and speak to the people of Israel, they have never changed. And you tell God, Pharaoh has never listened to me. So he said, God bring miracles when there's unbelief. Faith, the just shall live by faith. You know why God in the Old Testament used pictures and figures to teach the people of Israel? The understanding were low. For us Christians, the truth is set forth for us. We don't need pictures and miracles. We just need to learn and be taught. We need teaching. We don't need those things to excite our faith, no. So, Apostle Paul is reminding us of this. So, these are so-called preachers and false prophets. They make merchandise in the name of Christ to promote their own self and make themselves of money. The Spirit will not lead anyone to do that. To deceive people, to tell them to sow seed in the name of Christ. Where did they get that teaching from? And yet, people see them as the man of God. No! Apostle Paul is telling us, nobody who is influenced by the Spirit will call Jesus' name with blasphemy or do anything to blaspheme the name of Christ. That's what he may say. My time is gone. Let me add a few verses. Now, verse 4. Now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. So here he tells them there are distinctive gifts, but they all come from the Holy Spirit. They are distinctive gifts, different gifts. Some are extraordinary, while some are ordinary. Some were for the establishment of the church. Some are for the ongoing work of the church. That's the meaning here. That they are diversities. They are distinctive gifts for special purpose. Apostolic gifts were there. They were gifts that were supposed to build the church. Apostle Paul also verse 14 now. Yeah, well, I don't want to tell you, so it's maybe brave. Now it's your feet. So it's come from one for. Look at verse 5. And there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, different gifts serve different purposes. But under the same Lord, that's what it means. That each gift, there are different gifts for serving different purposes, but they are the same Lord. The Holy Spirit is called Lord here because He's God. The same Lord. God has given us this gift, but He's called Lord. The same, as I explained by the Lord Jesus Christ, nobody can call Jesus a curse or call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Spirit, the Lord, which means His deity. Verse 5, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. Each spiritual gift operates differently. You see, next week we see the individual gifts, they operate differently, and God uses them differently. But they are all made effective by the same God whose power works along with this gift. So that they all honor Christ, as I've said. It doesn't matter how they are operating, whether miraculously or ordinary, it will honor Christ. Whether it was that which apostles had or the continuing church had, it was what Apostle Paul did in his ministry is to honor Christ. And the church today, if their power is from Christ, they honor Him. If the Spirit has enabled the church today, they honor Him. That's what Apostle Paul is trying to say, tell us. You know that it doesn't matter how the Spirit operates, the effect is the same. The workings are the same. And here also the Spirit is referred to as God. You see, verse 4, he said the same Spirit here, but the same God. The Holy Spirit is God. And who worketh in all. And so that no one who is spiritually gifted has any cause to boast. I'm sure you have heard the so-called great men of God, how they boast about, I say they can tell people that if I curse you, the whole so-called a man of God, if I curse you, as if God has given His power, relegated His power to their hands. No, if truly your gift is from God, why do you boast? You see that it is for the good of the church, it's not to destroy the church. But what are they doing? They are this. Destroying the churches. Our time is gone, so next week we will continue with the same theme. May the Lord help us as we think about these things.